Well, again, I think the strategy is that on the one hand, he seems to be putting himself down, but at the same time, he's really undermining our conception of ourselves. Because we start thinking now, as I just did, about the generous acts we've performed that may have had a hidden motivation. Or we start thinking about the selfless acts, which in fact were all about our self-esteem, or perhaps about our reputations, which of course are all to our advantage. Now there's a sense in which thinking about the motivation of your action, in fact thinking too much about what you've done, can become a real problem. I said before that The Fall is a good illustration of the kind of thesis we find in many of the existentialist writers, where consciousness, rather than being a blessing, becomes something of a disease. When I said that Clemence can't stop thinking, can't stop reflecting, part of this is he can't leave it well enough alone. He can't accept the way he lives as, that's just the way I've lived. He can't accept the way he is as, that's just the way I am. He's the very opposite here, in another way again, from Rousseau, for whom accepting his life, accepting his fate, is just built into him. It's a matter of no thinking at all. But for Clemence, it's rather thinking so much about who you are and what you've done and what it means and what it adds up to leads to nothing less than a sense of misery and guilt. And the question is, why does he do this to himself? And again, one's tempted to go back to, say, Aristotle and the conception of the tragic flaw. Because, again, if we could see the ways in which Clemence was in some way off base or a little bit crazy, or the sense in which he really was a hypocrite in one way or another, then we could say, ah, well, that's the way he is. But since we don't get that, it's always, how much are we guilty of the same sorts of things that he claims? It was said by Socrates many years ago that the unexamined life is not worth living. But there's a point where you might want to ask, is the examined life worth living? Is it true, as Socrates, I think, rather presumptuously claimed, that people who don't stop to think about virtue and don't stop to think about who they are, who don't try to know themselves, live a distinctively inferior life? Or, looking at Clemence, we ask the question, is it possible to know yourself too well? Or does the attempt to know yourself inevitably end in a kind of self-deception and a kind of self-put-down? It goes back to Kierkegaard, who also held such a view, the view that consciousness, thinking too much, reflection, can be a disease. And as I said earlier, it certainly goes back to Dostoevsky. And here I'm thinking of his novelette called Notes from Underground, in which a very perverse character indeed gives us this picture of himself as utterly paralyzed, incapable of acting, because he thinks things through so thoroughly. And I think Clemence fits into this picture too. In one sense, you might say, he's extremely rational. But in another, more obvious sense, he's extremely irrational. He's rational in the sense that he thinks, he's articulate, he reasons, he thinks quite extensively in terms of means and ends and consequences. But he's irrational in the sense that he quite systematically seems to make himself unhappy. And it seems for most of us, without thinking about the more sophisticated notions of rationality, the ultimate irrationality, and the time when we are most likely to use that word, is when we see somebody undermining themselves, when we see somebody who is essentially making themselves miserable. The emotions with which we make ourselves miserable to us are the most irrational of emotions, whereas the emotions with which we make ourselves happy are, to us, the most rational emotions. But let's throw that into question. For example, one of the ways in which we make ourselves feel good about ourselves is the emotion of anger. There's a sense in which getting angry is a way of putting yourself on top of things, of being extremely judgmental, accusatory. At the end of The Stranger, when Rousseau bursts into anger with the visiting chaplain,